I think I'm going to go with this wording. Yes, excuse me, flight attendant. The roof of the plane seems to be coming apart. I'm just trying to formulate what I would say.
You'd be that calm?
If I saw it. Well, you remember that Twilight Zone episode? I think it was William Shatner's television
it was William Shatner
debut.
And he sees the monster
on the
ripping.
Wing.
Yeah, but he wasn't calm.
Off.
He was like, stewardess, plane, and wing.
And he was dismissed. And then, of course, it became the movie, The Twilight Zone.
And
which
he went
read
crazy.
John Lithgow,
and then he got
I think, was in there. Well, imagine yourself, okay? Planes that start tearing themselves apart unexpectedly in the sky, and you're sitting there. I mean, it would be hard to find a more alarming development. Even that Twilight Zone episode doesn't come
oh, I
close.
See. You're saying the plane did it itself rather than a monster
on
the roof.
I know, that's scarier.
Yeah.
I mean, but the reason that they're talking about that this happened is metal fatigue, which could not be more boring. There's no movie. There's no monster. I mean, metal just wears out no matter what you do. Machines in a high-stress environment need to be watched for signs of fatigue, titanium, aluminum, all the metal and in an airline. And questions in the wake of the Southwest Airlines incident over the weekend in which 5 feet of paneling, still hard to even believe, ripped away from the ceiling during a flight at an altitude of 3,600 feet, caused a depressurization incident, which was the reason why the plane made an emergency landing. The FAA has now issued a directive that will require extensive inspections of older model Boeing 737s that have accumulated large amounts of takeoff and landing cycles. Joining us to discuss this is Barbara Peterson, senior aviation correspondent for Condé Nast Traveler magazine. Good morning once again, Barbara.
Hello.
And John Golia is a former member of the National Transportation Safety Board and an independent transportation safety consultant. John, thanks so much for getting up for us out there in San Diego.
Oh, good morning.
So, John, you are the first mechanic to be appointed as a member of the NTSB. So you're the perfect person to ask this. I had a question all weekend long as I was looking at this story. How do airlines or how does the FAA or how do engineers monitor metal fatigue on older planes? Is it simply a matter of passing a test or is there a schedule that if it reaches a certain point, a number of flights, hours in the air, that sort of thing, you have to really think about it falling apart?
Well, there is a schedule. When the airplanes are built, the manufacturer comes out with the initial maintenance program, and it has time limits that certain things have to be done. And inspection of what's deemed to be critical areas of the fuselage, we'll just keep it narrow to the fuselage, critical areas will be inspected. And as time goes on, sometimes they'll stretch out those hours based upon experience, but they just keep looking at those critical areas. And then when we have problems like this, where fatigue shows up, then they will add that to the list of things that they look at.
Although that seems to put the problem before the inspection as opposed to anticipating the problem and inspecting before the thing starts to tear apart.
That's correct. It's reactive rather than proactive.
Not making me happy this morning. That's John Golia, a former member of the National Transportation Safety Board, independent transportation safety consultant, a mechanic on the NTSB. Barbara Peterson, does that alarm you at all when John is saying?
Oh, absolutely. Well, now, but we should really state, out front that, look, the airlines have had an excellent safety record.
Right.
In terms of actual crashes, you know, accidents where people are hurt or killed, they've done a very good job of that in the last few years. What's of concern now is that maybe we've become too complacent. And what can happen is exactly what John was just referring to, that there's not enough proactive looking at potential problems down the road. And one of the things that we've seen when we've studied accidents in the past is that often when an accident happens, you look back and there were a string of incidents that could be seen as precursors of the accident that really were sort of not really looked at that closely. So that's something that really needs to change. In effect, because it's become so safe, that really raises a new safety threat, which is that we're not going to be tough enough on the airlines.
Barbara Peterson, a CVA, senior aviation correspondent for Condé Nast Traveler magazine. This can't be the first time that we've encountered metal fatigue. Is this simply the first time that it's been this kind of a dramatic incident involving this problem?
Perhaps, yeah, but you're absolutely right. I mean, as I was reading about this over the weekend, I was thinking, really, we've seen this movie before. In fact, with Southwest itself, a couple of years ago, they had an emergency landing when a foot-long gash opened up. It was a flight from Nashville to Baltimore. There was a loss of cabin pressure. A lot of similar things happened, and yet it, for some reason, was not front-page news. And it was investigated for a year. The NTSB came out and again said that we need to be inspecting these planes more frequently and also using better tools to do it. As I think John mentioned before, it's not that easy to spot these cracks.
Well, the Wall Street has rewarded Southwest Airlines for being a cost-cutting airline, for one that really sort of maximizes the bottom line, and not to cast any aspersions on their safety record. But John Golia, talking with Barbara Peterson there of Condé Nast, John Golia, as a member of the NTSB, former member, it seems to me the incentives are all in the other direction. It's much cheaper to buy an old plane than it is to get a new plane with the latest technology.
That's true. That's true. And some carriers put a lot of money into old airplanes, and others dispose of their airplanes after they have them for about 12 years. So it's a wide variation in what people do with that piece of equipment.
All right, so that's John Golia. They're sort of describing the situation that there is a variation in how people deal with older planes versus new planes. Barbara Peterson, does that sort of argue for a kind of coherent standard as far as how many older planes you can have, how long you can keep them in the fleet?
Well, it isn't really the age of the plane. It's how many flights it does. You know, and Southwest, it takes off and lands very frequently. In fact, that's their whole business model. It's short flights. It's the quick turnarounds. A lot of their planes maybe make 6 or 7 flights a day, which is far higher than the industry average. However, I should point out they are one of the most popular airlines with consumers, and the reason is they are really they don't try to do too much. They don't try to be all things to all passengers. They have, this low-fare, high-frequency model. It's very simple, one class of service. And critically these days, no fees, which they've really, I think gotten a lot of brownie points for.
All right, we got just 30 seconds. I want to get a kind of a yes or no from both of you. Is this a turning point for the industry, or is this something that where they're going to fix and we'll move on? Barbara Peterson, very quickly.
I think it's definitely a wake-up call.
All right. Senior aviation correspondent for Condé Nast Traveler magazine, John Golia, what do you think? Turning point, or they fix it and we move on?
They're going to fix it and move on.
All right. John Golia, former member of the National Transportation Safety Board. Thanks so much to both of you. That was a great discussion.
Thanks.